world dominated by fear and mass manipulation of the media. Who can you trust? Just when you think there is no hope alive, you find out that there is an alternative news source to turn to. Revere Radio Network, keeping the dream of sovereignty and freedom alive for all. Revere Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in the following broadcast do not necessarily reflect the views of Revere Radio Network, Rob Revere, or any other host on the network. They are the personal thoughts and feelings of the host given the presentation. We support total free speech here at Revere Radio Network, even when it's ugly. Enjoy.
Hey, you're listening to Revere Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Revere Radio Network. It's the worldwide home of free speech, and you should be proud of yourself for having found it. If you haven't found it yet, it's available at revereradio.net, and you should check it out. It's got about 20 or so DJs doing virtually the same thing. Carries a lot of different streams, a lot of different great bits of information, and you can really learn a lot. Even if you think you got it all figured out, there's always something that you haven't figured out yet. And Revere Radio is a good place to find out about it. Usually I start off every show with corrections from my previous show. And while I'm sure I had some mistakes in the previous show, it was a two-hour interview instead of just a rant. So it was less opportunities to actually be wrong technically about things. But it was a good interview. It was with Robert Duncan O'Finian, who was a former victim of Project Talent, which is a very MK-Ultra-like project from the military concerning mind-controlled assassins. And it's a great interview, so I would encourage you to check it out. It's in the archives. And I'd like to personally thank Mr. O'Finian for doing the interview with me. I think he's one of the bravest men out there. And it takes a lot of courage. There's a lot of people out there that have been involved in these programs that are not speaking out or can't speak out, and I would like to thank Mr. O'Finian for doing what he can be doing in the face of a lot of opposition. Right, so let's get into the topic for today. But something that's been concerning me the past week and I've been looking into a bit is the technical aspects of this ancient knowledge being hoarded from us, and who's doing the hoarding, why they're doing the hoarding, what they've figured out, at what stage are they at with this and their implementation of the knowledge that can be used for both good or evil. Most researchers will agree that there is some sort of ancient wisdom that is being hoarded by what we refer to them as, too, the elite. The organization chiefly responsible for the actual acquiring of the information and the hoarding of it physically, as best as I can tell, has been the Vatican, who has basically stole the libraries and burned them in some cases, killed the shaman, told everybody what they were doing was evil. By a process of doing this over and over again, they have hoarded in their vaults in the Vatican probably a complete history of the ancient wisdom of the entire world.
Nobody expects a Spanish Inquisition!
And make no mistake, they've been studying the wisdom. I mean, there are people assigned and people that have that are assigned to study what the Vatican has in its basement. Now, those people have an agenda because they have found out a great deal of stuff and probably been sent on all kinds of different missions to do with the things that they learned. It's kind of like finding treasure maps, you know? Then now you got to go actually hunt for the treasure. But now I think that they are really close and have a lot of the keys to a lot of the things that they want to do with this knowledge. Every time they find a bit of the knowledge, like the Templars under the Temple of Solomon, and a lot of this has to do with what the Treasure of Solomon was and what they found there and what that led them to. Obviously, when those Templars came back from the Crusades and they had found whatever they had found underneath the Temple Mount, they started building some serious cathedrals, and it's a whole new age of understanding of buildings, and not to mention, you know, technology. I mean, the compass and everything else that came out of that. It was little bits and pieces of a lot of different things, and the Nazis apparently got a hold of a good deal of this treasure and knowledge, and I feel that there's a lot of things that have to be found in order to make the machines, for lack of a better understanding of it, work. I believe that through this knowledge and the elite people have been studying this information that they've had, this ancient information, and they've found clues as to what they need to get the power to work. I think that they have trouble with it. It seems like they haven't quite got the power figured out. It could be because of their evil nature and maybe there's some sort of fail-safe built into it. But they seem to be on a hunt for this ancient knowledge, and that's why the clip I'm about to play is important, because I think that they have finally got the final pieces, which open some doors to the final prizes on the Giza Plateau and centered around the areas of Egypt, but specifically the Great Pyramid at Giza, which I'll go into in some detail in just a minute of why it's important to them and what it could possibly do. Also, as usual, this is all speculation on my part. It's an educated guess, a lot of it, but it's all a theory. It's speculation. Let's get into contemporary stuff. The Iraq War, when it first happened, I remember seeing the news stories about the Iraq Museum and how there was a raid on that museum immediately, like the first day of the war. And I remember thinking and looking on the internet trying to find somebody that knew something about this, because I had a feeling that it was important that this was the reason that they did it. And recently I found the world's greatest conspiracy theorist, as Gordon Novell puts it, Jim Mars, had mentioned something about that. I found this on Real Radio Archives. It's a Coast to Coast interview. Let me play a quick bit of this real quick. It's pretty interesting.
Now, I have in my files the AP stories from 99, 2000, 2001, that French and German archaeological teams were making amazing new discoveries in Iraq. In fact, one German team using ground-penetrating radar believed that they had actually located the tomb of the legendary King Gilgamesh, who for the longest time was thought to be just some legend. But they are now saying that he probably was a real person and that really existed. And what was this other amazing discoveries they were making? Well, we may not know, because where would they have taken all of those new found tablets and scrolls and text? They would have taken them to the basement of the Iraqi National Museum in Baghdad. We all know, if you'll remember, that Saddam Hussein believed himself the reincarnated Nebuchadnezzar, mm-hmm. and he was rebuilding Babylon, so he obviously had an intense interest in these antiquities. And then, all of a sudden, we have to invade Iraq, okay? We're looking for weapons of mass destruction, but of course that's been proven to be wrong. Number one, we never found any. Number two, everyone who had knowledge of the situation, Hans Blix, the UN weapons inspector,
yeah.
The International Atomic Energy Agency, and even our own weapons inspector, Scott Ritter, before we invaded, said they don't have any, okay? But we went in anyway. We had to go, just had to go. And then we violated basic military strategy, which is to set yourself an objective, seize the objective, consolidate your winnings, secure the countryside, and move on to the next objective. No, we made a beeline for Baghdad, which is still creating problems for us now because we failed to pacify and secure the countryside.
And we never had an exit strategy.
And there was no exit strategy. And what happened once we got to Baghdad? The Iraqi National Museum was vandalized and looted. Okay? Now, I'm sure they hired a gang of looters. In fact, according to the reports, while there were a few hundred people running around and running into the museum, thousands of Iraqis were standing around shouting, "Don't do that. That's our national heritage. Stop
right.
what you're doing."
Exactly.
And even though museum directors from around the world had gained the promise from the Pentagon that we would protect the Iraqi National Museum, at one point, some American soldiers and a tank, I believe, actually were brought there and were trying to disperse the crowds, but they were only there for about 20 minutes before they were ordered out. And what happened then? The looting of the Iraqi National Museum. Now, Colonel Matthew Bogdanos investigated that looting for General Tommy Franks, and he stated that it's known that glass cutters were found in there that are not commercially available in Iraq. They bypassed expensive-looking fakes. The guards were suspiciously missing. They had keys to some of the vaults and some of the things. So this was an op. This was an operation.
And those things are gone now, aren't they?
Oh, well, now, some of the stuff in the upper museum that probably the hired mob got, a lot of those have been recovered. But listen to what Colonel Bogdanos said in an issue of Archaeology magazine. He said, the final group is from the basement. And, of course, the basement, George, is where they would have taken all the new recent finds, right? The basement is what we've been calling the inside job. And I will say it forever like a mantra. It is inconceivable to me that the basement was breached and the items stolen without an intimate insider's knowledge of the museum. And from there, about 10,000 pieces were taken, and we've only recovered approximately 650.
Oh, my gosh.
So this is where they got the good stuff. And what did it all have to do with? It had to do with this ancient technology. Technology that probably goes back to the time of the building of the Great Pyramid, the mysterious structure at Baalbek, some of these really ancient, almost antediluvial type antiquities. And it all has to do with the manipulation of basic energy at the atomic and subatomic level, which now brings us to your favorite topic. That manipulation of energy is the basis for UFO technology. You've heard the stories, George, that when the UFO comes over, the car engines stop.
Yes.
And when the UFOs go away, the car engines start again.
Starts back up
again. Yeah, but have you ever heard anyone say, oh, yeah, and then the starter came on, and the engine started back? No, the starters don't start up. What happens is that when that UFO is in the area, you have an electromagnetic energy field.
Okay, then he goes into some stuff there that is obviously he's working with Gordon Novell, who actually, if in that Project Camelot interview of Gordon Novell, Gordon Novell mentions that Jim Mars is on his team as their official biographer or something like that, official recorder. It's a team that is trying to back engineer these UFOs for the free energy technology, and then he goes into a good deal of it there. And just if you wanted to listen to any more of that particular episode of Coast to Coast, it's like I said, it's on Real Radio Archives. May 16th, 2006 was. And you could also go to coasttocoastam.com and sign up there and hear all their archives. I think the people with the power to create wars to find what was being found in Iraq and have that kind of thirst for this knowledge, these keys, are looking for a way to utilize the pyramid. And I believe that the pyramid is a biblical monument. And here are a few reasons. There's no way I could possibly get to all of this, so I'm just going to try to breeze through it. First, in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 19, verses 19 and 20, he says, "In that day," referring to the end times, "there will be an altar to the Lord in the heart of Egypt and a monument to the Lord at its border." An altar to the Lord in the land of Egypt and a monument to the Lord at its border. These are referring to the same thing. In the following verse, it says, "It will be a sign and a witness to the Lord." Also, Jeremiah 32, verses 18 and 20, "He has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt." Inside the pyramid, in the king's chamber, this acoustically resonant room, there is the only piece of furniture in the entire pyramid. It is a stone box made out of a single piece of granite. It is virtually impossible for us to drill a box out of a solid piece of granite today. I don't even know if it is possible, but it would take a diamond tip drill and many, many tons of pressure to do. And you can look that up. I mean, it's just not doable, you know, with what they were supposed to have. Not to mention everything about the pyramid is not doable with what they were supposed to have, especially considering, you know, if evolution was true, we're not even supposed to be anywhere close to that level of development at that point. What the interesting part of this is, it's the exact volume of the dimensions of the Ark of the Covenant. Now keep in mind, we're talking about, in Isaiah verse 19, an altar to the Lord in the heart of Egypt. The length of the base side, divided by 25 inches, a cubit, is 365.24, which is the exact number of the days in a solar year. The total inch value of the base perimeter equals the number of days in a century. One great pyramid face represents the curved quarter of the northern hemisphere. The apex of the Great Pyramid corresponds to the North Pole, while the perimeter of its base correlates to the circumference of the equator. The Great Pyramid is a perfect almanac, registering the seasons of the year by functioning as a huge sundial whose shadows indicate, among other things, the solstices and the duration of the year. The average height of land above sea level, Miami being low and Himalayas being high, can be measured only by a modern-day satellite or computer, but it happens to be 5,449 inches. That is the exact height of the pyramid. The thing represents pi. It's the exact center of landmass of the Earth. It measures the precession of the equinoxes, which is something we didn't even figure out till recently, which is the wobble of the Earth, which I diagram in the conspiracy closure or whatever. But also, I mean, I haven't even got to the astronomical implications. I mean, and you literally can go on and on and on about this, and some websites do. I really do encourage everybody to go look into it. It is extremely important right now to get news from the Giza Plateau, wherever you can find it. They've been doing some extremely nefarious things over there the past few years. They've been having, you know, they've built this huge, tall wall around the entire plateau. They've restricted, I think, all tourists lately. They have these late-night excavations. Nobody knows what's going on in there, what's been found, and all this stuff. It's under the direction of a guy named Zahi Hawass, who is the director of the Supreme Council of Antiquities, who is a company man, to say the least. He has to, I mean, just for the papers, the newspapers' sake, he has to protect the idea that the pyramids were built by national Egyptians, because it's a huge Muslim pride issue. You know, try telling them that the Ark of the Covenant has anything to do with it, and therefore the Jews could have something to do with it. It wouldn't go over well, but it's not that would ever be getting out, because anyway, especially if it was the truth. I mean, they're going to tell us that aliens built it, or whatever way that they're going to use it. I believe that the devil is about to use, and that's one of the reasons that they have found and needed to find all these keys to the Giza Plateau, was to use this, I mean, to put the capstone back on, the gold capstone, and plug in the Ark of the Covenant, I think is going to have something to do with him setting up his kingdom here with his false trinity and Messiah and the whole deal. The signs and wonders in heaven, I don't know. I don't want to formulate a theory on all this stuff yet, because I don't know it. I really wish I did. I know that there's some deep truth here. I am convinced that the mathematics involved with the pyramid and all the exacts that you can say ring just like the creation of the universe. Everything was so exact. I mean, it served so many purposes in so many different ways. I think it has the fingerprints of God all over it. And the Jews were held in Egypt at that time, and they did, and after they had already built the Ark of the Covenant. And it stands to reason that the Ark of the Covenant could have helped them build the pyramid in the first place, considering all the electrical properties and the things that it could do. When reading the Old Testament, it obviously was doing some things. And so it stands to reason that it could have something to do with that. I don't know. It makes sense, but I also see this as the big deception, too. I mean, this truth is also available to be used as a huge deception. And it all depends on who is telling you the story. All I can say is you have to trust your sources when it comes to these anomalies of ancient history. Because we all run the risk of being severely lied to about this. Because anything that they tell us about ancient history's implications are soul-shattering. I mean, everything that we've ever been taught, falsely, I might add, everything that we've ever been taught or that we all claim that we know could either be wrong or right, depending on the analysis of the information of ancient history. It is a very, very important topic, and I guarantee you that these folks are finding out what it is, and then are going to whitewash whatever it is that they find to better serve their agenda. Whoever has this information and power, I truly believe it can be used for good or evil. So you have to be careful if the people that are using it are evil. And man, it kills me. All these people that with the great awakening that has happened lately, and all these people are finding out that our leaders are these neo-Nephilim. Some people won't go there yet, but they will say that we all agree that they're devil worshippers, you know, regardless of whether or not you believe it or not, that these people are worshiping the devil. We have documented proof to this end, and they are going to rituals, they are performing all kinds of black occult stuff, they're interbreeding, and this is who we are dealing with. But for some reason, the deception is that the devil, that we're still, you know, religion is a tool to control us and all this stuff. And of course, there's no devil. You know, they just worship him. In the same sentence, they'll say, yeah, they're all devil worshipers, and they, you know, but there's no devil. Well, what the hell do you know? I mean, obviously, they know something more than you do. They're running the world. You know, what are you running? They are getting a tremendous amount of power from something, and I can only assume that they're not stupid. And I'm telling you, if I hear another person give a long discourse about why the Catholic Church is, or why Christianity is pagan, and it's obviously, you know, just used to control us, and religion is used to control us, well, I'm telling you right now that the Vatican and the Catholic Church is a control mechanism, and you can prove it to me all day long. But I'm telling you, it's like comparing apples and oranges. The Catholic Church and Christianity are in a very real sense complete opposites. If you've even glanced at the New Testament, you would know that Jesus' personality was such that he would be livid with the Vatican and the Catholic Church. I mean, Jesus was always mad at the Pharisees and the bankers and everybody else the whole time. He would be livid. I mean, he would be livid at these people doing all this stuff in his name, this pagan stuff in his name. He would be mad as hell. And using it as proof that Christianity is wrong. And at the same time, being the organizers and the hoarders of the knowledge that's being kept from us and then reproduced to us as some sort of proof otherwise. The devil knew where he was setting up shop, and he wanted to be where the action was, and that was what was called the church in the world. I mean, that's why you have all this pedophilia and stuff, because pedophilia is one of the highest forms of evil. It's evil for the sake of evil. It's like pure evil. There's all kinds of snakes in the water, and there's a lot of deception that is going to pop up regarding this. There's never going to be a time before or since the time that you and I live in that is going to be so filled with deception about the one truth that you need to know about. And just because you've been tricked to thinking it's lame and uncool is just that. It's a trick. It's a ruse. The waters are going to be muddied, to say the least, in our lifetime. And so we all need to be very careful about what we've decided to believe. And that includes me and everybody else and what I've come to the conclusion of and everything. But I'm just saying, I guess I got to take a break because I got all fired up about this. I'm going to come back, and I don't know if I resolved anything with all that rant. But I got some more stuff to say on another topic, and so I will do this break, play some independent music, and I'll be right back. This band I'm about to play is called The Parlor Mob. You can see them at myspace.com/TheParlorMob. They're a kick-ass rock and roll band from just south of New Jersey. We played with them while we were up there in New Jersey. I love these guys, and here they go.
sick of being fed lie after lie by the mainstream media each day? Don't you feel it's time to stand up and be heard? Are you ready for the alternative media revolution? Ready or not, here we are. Revere Radio Network, bringing you the best in alternative news and commentary.
Attention world, meet my demands or be destroyed.
As you wish, my lord.
Yes, 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 sir, yes, sir.
That's better.
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
You surprised? Surprised, Eddie? If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
Hey, dude, don't go away, man. Come on, this affects all of us, man. Our basic freedoms! I'm staying. I'm finishing my coffee. Enjoying my coffee.
All right, everybody, we are back. Thanks for tuning back in after that rant. And that was The Parlor Mob that I played during the break. Incredible band from New Jersey. MySpace.com/The Parlor Mob. You know, you can donate to Revere Radio by going to revereradio.net and hitting the Make a Donation button. They make it real easy. You can pay by various ways and pay $1, $5. It's real easy. And it is something that really does keep the bandwidth going. Phalon.com, Phyalon, is that right? Phalon.com. They, without them, Revere wouldn't be. So support them if you can. They have incredible amounts of media and whatnot there. So check that out. And like I said, make a donation if you can. It surely helps everything.
Come on, you. Cough up a bucket, cheap bastard.
Okay, let's get into what we're going to get into in the second half. But one more delay before we do. If you want to email me and send me your hate mail and tell me where I'm wrong and tell me what I need to correct and what I said that was untrue or bad or whatever, you can email me at chris@conspiricyclose.com. That's chris@conspiricyclose.com. Rolls right off the tongue, chris@conspiricyclose.com. It's a secure server and everything's all good there, so just... So just tell me what my problem is, and I'll do my best to answer it. Also, I do solicit prayers. If you have any extra prayers to give, I could use them. I certainly could use it to make sure I don't give out any disinfo or misinformation, and also just generally strength, protection, that kind of thing. I really, really would appreciate it. As I said in the first half about the Project Camelot interview with Gordon Novell and how Jim Marvs was the biographer or whatnot. So if you go back and look at that video of Gordon Novell, now he is talking about using basically alien technology, free energy technology, to save the world from global warming. And there's a few problems, although that, I mean, it's the most, he seems like the most credible person and the most, It's a really well-done misinfo, if it is. It's hard to see through. Two things that are concerning about it, though. One is he won't breathe a bad word about the CIA. And I understand that apparently it was a CIA safe house agreement that's keeping him alive, and so therefore he has a loyalty to not throw stones at them. And that makes sense, and so I'm willing to overlook that, but... And I don't know, maybe the CIA is the Eagle Scouts of the alphabet agencies. I don't know, I've never dealt with them. Maybe they do get a bad rap and all this stuff. It is odd that I mean, he obviously is in connection with the CIA, yeah, although he says time and time again he doesn't work for them. And the other part that concerns me about the interview is his continuing to spread the global warming propaganda. And I'm not saying that he's not a true believer and he's really working on this free energy technology, a la alien technology, quote unquote, to really do what he feels is the good thing, and that's to save the world from global burning, as he calls it. If you have been paying attention to the news lately, you will have heard about the Canadian defense minister who, you know, this is covered on everywhere from Glenn Beck to your local MySpace blog about the Canadian defense former defense minister coming out and saying that we need to use this alien free energy technology that we have, according to him, to stop global warming so we can get rid of fossil fuels and all this other stuff. Which, hello, is exactly what Gordon Novell is saying. I mean, word for word. I mean, this Canadian guy is either working with Gordon Novell or part of the same campaign to get, you know, released at the same time. You know, they're starting to release this information. And if Gordon Novell's completely right, then they know that the information has to come out and that they're prepping us for it. If he is to be believed 100%, or if he has been infiltrated, or if he is allowed to be saying what he's saying because it is disinfo as a true believer. And my theory is, I mean, obviously both sides of the global warming debate are propaganda right now. They are making sure, and this is obvious to anybody that's looking, that they're making global warming issue number one in everybody's head, and especially fear number one is very important. Because the bigger the problem, the bigger the savior that solves us from it. And our savior is going to be alien technology. They're prepping us for it. They are making sure that we all have the early stages of it, kind of like the USS Cole bombing was to 9/11. You know, there were, you know, some everybody was saying, this sounds like something, you know, the day of, this sounds like something that Bin Laden would do, you know, just the early prepping of everything. You can see it happening right now with this global warming thing. And there are well-funded sides of propaganda on both sides of the equation, and they're muddying the waters. But the one thing that's happening with all the water muddying is that they are making it an issue. It's the number one issue. Now nobody denies it. I'm not claiming that we are, we aren't, you know. I do know that it's being used, whatever, either real or promulgated, as Kissinger says. It's being used to, and it serves the agenda of either it's helping to further this one world government and eventually make this one world government in high demand. With the idea of free energy and introducing the free energy aspect to us from alien technology is going to cause what I believe the hardest thing in the Bible to believe is. And that is that it says in the last days that there's going to be a one world religion. Now, I don't know about you, but the last time that I checked, none of the religions are planning on changing their tune anytime soon. And it is going to take either aliens landing on the White House lawn or being introduced in some respect, or it's going to take them proving, quote-unquote, that aliens existed and seeded us and by using ancient history anomalies. One of those two things, or both, has to happen here pretty soon to make sure this one-world religion happens. It's the only way to do it. I mean, there isn't another way to create a one-world religion. There's no possible way. And now, I mean, even the people, anybody that still believes in random mutations at the molecular level to explain, sifted by natural selection to explain this evolution, the 120-year-old dogma that Darwin and his grandfather put out, are just simply uneducated in recent happenings. I mean, the genetic code and the problems associated with that, problems to the evolutionary crowd, are now becoming mainstream, and you have mainstream publications of science saying that we have to have an intelligent design theory, but, you know, as per science, it will never have God in it. But the only other option to have intelligent design without God is the Sitchin-Tessarian seeding of aliens by these ultra-advanced aliens. And keep in mind, they are going to do that. They are. It's on the news. It's happening all over the place. They're doing this. They're going to shift it, and it's going to be a nice little sleight of hand thing that they're going to do here pretty soon. It's important to realize that you have to have other theological questions answered, even if aliens exist, which I have no problems, even if they aren't Neo-Nephilim and they are aliens from another star system or in our solar system or what have you. I don't have a problem with it biblically, but they will say that I do, and they're in that view that they're saying that I have a problem with it is going to be on all the major news channels, and it's going to be on every front page of the paper. Just promise me that'll be a red flag to you if that happens. But let's answer where the aliens came from. Let's answer who created them. Let's answer who put the Big Bang in motion. A little bit of a rant there. So let me continue with what I'm saying about this global warming thing. They in the near future, we're going to be using global warming as the problem reaction solution Hegelian dialect thing. The big problem is global warming. The solution is free energy. Okay? And the solution will also be various things that further seal our slavery into the New World Order system, and that they're going to use it for all kinds of things, but it's going to start with this, and you're already seeing it. That means, people, that we are in the time that the whole thing is. That means that they have lockdown on the stuff that they already had lockdown to start, needed to have lockdown to start introducing all this stuff. I mean, we're in advanced stages of the end of this age. And keep in mind, they're going to use the whole idea of an end of an age, the beginning of the age of Aquarius, as this new spiritual awakening, which is true. We are due on the books for a spiritual awakening pretty soon. And so there are a lot of physical things that are happening, both in the cosmos and inside ourselves and on the earth, that reflect that we are about to go through a spiritual awakening. And they're using that to convince the people that understand the spiritual and understand some of the physical things associated with it to prove their point that when, you know, the new age happens, there's going to be an exodus from the earth, if you will, of the people that won't, that aren't ready for it. And I bet you those people are going to be the Christians, you know. Never mind that that's what it says in the Bible is going to happen. They're going to say that this exodus was due to any number of things. I've heard a great deal of theories about how they will be explaining this rapture. But one thing is, that was one of the first things that I remember thinking when I studied prophecy was, you know, how are they going to, I mean, it seems like it would just all blow up in their face once the rapture happens. I mean, you can't continue with anything, the lies, because then people would be like, oh, well, you know, obviously they were right, and there they go. But that's why you see a lot of this beginning with the backstory generating and whatnot. And that's why you have a lot of the 2012 thing being shouted from the mountaintops by all these snakes in the grass out there. And I'm not saying everybody that believes in it is. I'm just saying the people that are really touting it, because it is an absolute necessary component to explaining the stuff that has to be explained by their side about what's going to be happening in and around this time of Armageddon and eventually Judgment Day. We have to look into what the Mayan calendar says. What did it claim? What, you know, take it separately. What does the Mayan calendar claim? And then what do they add on top of it dogma-wise? And where do they get this dogma, this new purging of the people that don't understand the New Age? Where does that come from? It's important to see where your sources are in that, and not to just believe it, you know, because they do that with everything. They try to trick you with something that's mystic and crazy, and look how crazy and mystic it is. Now believe this, what I'm about to tell you. It's like, you know, believe this truth, and then now believe this lie. Okay, that was I didn't mean to get off on that, but it just got brought up, so I'm digressing. Let's see. I guess I should take a secular, non-religious break here and play some rock and roll, independent rock and roll music, or maybe it won't be rock and roll, but it'll be kick-ass nonetheless. So let's do that, and I'll get back with you on the other side. We'll be right back.
show. Look into the great unknown.
Revere Radio Network, Tampa.
Everything that I'm saying to you, I've learned to speak phonetically. As to the meanings of the individual words or the precumbent rules of syntax, I haven't a clue.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air! All hollering, all the time!
I warned you, but did you listen to me? Oh, no, you knew it all, didn't you? Oh, it's just a harmless little bunny, isn't it?
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Okay, everybody, we're back. Thanks for tuning back in. The music that you were hearing before was a band called Speakeasy. The music that you heard was from a band called Speakeasy. He's one of our best friends on the road. They're great guys, real funny. We enjoy hanging out with them more than just about any other band. You can go to their website at speakeasyband.com, and I think they're on tour out through the Colorado area right now, and it looks like they're doing some other stuff around. I know they just got done recording an album. But yeah, that's a great band, and really, really good musicians too. Just amazing musicians, actually. Okay, let me get into to the last little bit of the show here. I just want to say first that, you know, with all the theories and stuff that I say, I don't intend to make anybody mad or anything. I really don't. I don't want anything from the show. I don't want this to be, you know, I don't have any dreams of grandeur or anything for it. I just want to be a voice in the conspiracy world that's dissenting from the where it's going. It's going to a place, I think, you know, I don't really take too much stock when people say, oh, the truth movement's getting hijacked. I think that it is, and they want to do that with a lot of things, the 9/11 thing for sure, and a lot of things are getting hijacked, but especially this whole awakening is going to be hijacked. Pretty soon, it's going to be split right down the middle. They're going to take what we've built and cut it in half, because there's going to be a very ideological difference that we're going to disagree on when they start throwing these aliens at us. It's going to be the Sitchin camp, and it's going to be the Christians. And that's going to split us all up. We're both going to believe in the New World Order. We're both going to believe in, you know, in the bloodlines and ancient history anomalies and all this stuff, but we're going to disagree on the most important issue at all, and that's all they care about. It's getting to the point where it's almost to the end game here. They don't care that you know the truth, much of the truth, as long as you don't know the one thing that can save you. That name that the father gave to his son was so special that it supersedes the authority of all evil. I mean, you can use it, and you are given authority over all this stuff. I mean, you are. The lie is that they don't want you to know that you have the authority over it. And without preaching too much, I mean, that's where this is all going to separate and where it's all coming down. So I don't want anything from it. I just want to be... I don't even care if anybody listens to the show. I just want it to be out there for those who want to find it. I know that I just want everybody to know that. I know that everybody's got their own thing going on, and I don't want to be try to convince anybody on the network. I don't want to try to convince. I don't have an agenda as far as that is. I just like the opportunity of being on record. And having said it before it happens, because I think that when it all goes down, one of the important things is for somebody to be able to play these shows and say, look, this guy was saying this that was going to happen before it happened, so it will give it, you know, credibility. Because once the aliens come and they start telling us whatever they're telling us, then it's going to be a lot harder for people to speak out on it, because there's going to be a huge angry campaign against Christians at that point. And I don't, and it's not logical. I mean, it's not a logical thing to do, but it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. I mean, you can feel that already. But I do encourage everybody to look into the alien thing and look into the abduction thing. I haven't. I'm a conspiracy buff, nut job for as long as I can remember, but I never really got too into the aliens thing until recently when it really all made sense. I suppose I had a theory about it, but man, I'm telling you. Also, check out Chuck Missler. Obviously, if you've listened to much of the show, you know that I take a lot from what he says, but I do it no justice whatsoever. Chuck Missler, go to Google Video. He's got a billion MP3s everywhere. You can go to his website, khouse.org. But Chuck Missler is the name to put in a search engine if you really want to know a really interesting side to the story. But with this topic of all this stuff, aliens and abductions and all, beware the disinfo, man. That is one area where there is disinfo, misinfo, trisinfo, blissinfo, everything. I mean, they got it's really, really muddied over there. You'd be surprised how everything makes sense. It all is tied together. We're living in the most important time in the history of humanity. I mean, you know, I don't think that there was ever a time when you really didn't have a choice after this. I think at all points in history, regardless of what religion you were or what you did in your life, you always had the opportunity to come back and try again. That's my personal opinion, Edgar Casey style. I think that it was God's will never to lose anybody. I mean, He doesn't will any soul to be damned, and he kept giving them opportunities to do it. But I think this is the time right before Judgment Day, and after that day, you know, there's not an opportunity anymore. It's so important to realize how important this all is. And I don't mean that you shouldn't enjoy your life. I mean, far from that. We don't have the luxury of not worrying about this anymore. And I mean worrying about it by thinking about what you can do and everything else. I mean, they've got us so apathetic and dumbed down that if after all this is happening, after Armageddon's done and the new age is upon us and everything's okay again, you know, they're going to ask us if we've made it through all of it. You know, hey, what were you doing right before the time? You know, tell us about it. And all these people are going to say, you know, I don't know. I had no idea, you know. I mean, you go to Walmart, you go to your local grocery store and look at the people there. I mean, they don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody's ever going to realize that this is so important until it's in their face. And by the time it's in their face, they're going to have to believe whatever they're being told. There's no hope for some of these people except through the direct intervention of God. I pray for something to happen to wake people up before the big deception gets there. Some kind of crack in their armor, chink in their armor that lets everybody see it for a minute. Because without it, I don't know. I think that the majority of us, if we're not already going to be euthanized and killed by all the various mechanisms and dumbing down agents that they have poisoned our lives with, then the rest of us are gone and going to be led by this deception anyway. It's not impossible. Nothing is impossible with God's help, and that's what's keeping me going. And it keeps me motivated. So anyway, I'm running out of time. Sorry for being so preachy. I don't mean to do it. I didn't intend to be so preachy. I was talking about the pyramids and global warming. I don't know how this came about. But, oh yeah, that's because they're all connected. Anyway, that's it for me. Take it easy.